thank you, Lord, for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Avner Craig speaking. We trust you'll stay with us, and we trust the Lord will make our service a blessing to you today. We're opening our service with a selection, A Child of God. Father, we're truly thankful for the privilege we have of being a part of the family of God, and we're thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We're trusting that wherever our service is reaching, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to each and to every one. We're so thankful for your love. And we know that you love everyone. You know, we know that you care for everyone. So minister to our congregation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can have your treasures, all your silver and your gold. And you can have the honors that this old world can bestow. But I'll just keep the name I've got.
Nothing in this whole world I'd rather be called than a child of God. I'll be a child of God. I'm in the church triumphant, and that's where I'm gonna stay. No matter how dark the path may get, I know God has showed me the way. Nothing in this whole world I'd rather be called than a child of God. I'll be a child of God. Nothing in this whole world I'd rather be called than a child of God. I'll be a child of God. Yeah. I'm in a church triumphant, and that's where I'm gonna stay. No matter how dark the path may get, I know God will show me the way. Nothing in this whole world I'd rather be called than a child of God. I'll be a child of God.
On this broadcast, I'd like for us to look at the Lord's Prayer. And we find the Lord's Prayer in John 17. Some people call this the priestly prayer, but it is indeed a prayer that Jesus himself prayed. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's reading down through verse 3, and I'd like to stop and make some comments here. First of all, we must know God, and we must know his Son, Jesus Christ, to have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Now, when I say we must know God, I'm talking about us really personally knowing God, not just knowing of God, but knowing God, being on speaking terms with him. As Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar so long ago, there is a God in heaven, and they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I thank God today that it is possible for us to know God and to know him as our Heavenly Father. There is a large religious organization in the world who says that we are blaspheming if we call God our Father. But Jesus, in teaching the disciples how to pray, they had asked him to teach them how to pray, even as John the Baptizer had taught his disciples. And that's the prayer that we have in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus did not intend for the disciples to pray that prayer, repeat it over and over. It was merely a model by which they could use to pray to the Heavenly Father. And he starts out that prayer with, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So it is possible through the born-again experience for us to become a part of the family of God and know God as our Heavenly Father. In fact, this is the only way that we can have eternal life, being born again and of knowing God as our Father and knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Now, dropping down to verse 9 in this Lord's Prayer here in John 17, I pray for them, talking about his disciples, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples. And we are told in the scriptures that we are to pray one for another, that we are to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, Jesus did not say he would not pray for the unsaved, but in this particular statement, he said, I pray for them, not for the world. And we go on in verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Yes, we are to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by living in obedience to his word. As James said, we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And we are to glorify the Lord by obeying him, by loving him, by serving him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so we are to love the Lord, and we are to obey him, and we are to glorify God in doing so. Now we drop down to verse 14 of the Lord's Prayer. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Notice what the Lord said here. Remember, he was praying to his heavenly Father, and he said, I have given them, the disciples, thy word, and in their obeying the word that Jesus had given them, the world hated them. Why should anyone hate another person for doing what is right? Because I know that Jesus Christ taught them right, and the word that he gave them would lead them and guide them right, and the world was hating them because they were doing what is right. Isn't it strange that people would hate another person for doing what is right? What kind of a world would we have today if everybody was doing what is right? And if you obey the word of God, you are doing what is right. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. And that's one reason why the world hates the Christian, is because the Christian is not doing the things that the worldlings are doing. And their Christian life brings conviction upon the unsaved many times, and they do not appreciate that. They do not like that. But Jesus told the disciples that they were to let their light shine among men so that the world might see them and glorify God in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the world hates the people who are obeying the word of God because they are obeying the word of God. And we read in verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil that is in the world. Now, Jesus was said here, he was not praying to take them out of the world, but he had saved them from the love of the world, and they were doing what was right, and he intended for them to. We read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where Jesus said, whenever the Spirit of God has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So Jesus did not save us and take us out of the world from a physical standpoint, but he took us out of the love of the world and out of the things of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away with the lust and the fruit thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So Jesus saves us out of the sinful world, but he does not take us out of this literal world. He leaves us here to be a living witness for him and for the Father. Then we drop down to verse 16, and we read here, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Can you imagine Jesus doing sinful and worldly things? Well, of course not. He would not do anything that was wrong. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And so he said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And we know that Jesus Christ did not partake of sinful and worldly things in his sojourn here on this earth. He went about doing good unto all men, living a holy life, being an example for us to follow. For we are to walk in his steps. We are to walk as he walked. We are to live as he would have us to live, in obedience to the word of God. Now in verse 17, we find Jesus praying to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. First of all, notice, Jesus said, thy word is truth. And he prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. So he was praying for them to be sanctified. Now they had already been converted. They were already a disciple. They were already a follower of his. And they were living right. But he had another experience that he wanted them to receive. And that was the sanctifying grace of God, which is a definite experience separate and apart from the experience of regeneration. Many people get to the born-again experience and sanctification confused as one and the same thing. But regeneration is being born again. But sanctification is a separate experience, and you do not receive the sanctifying power of the Spirit when you are saved. It is an experience separate and apart. And this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And so we are to be saved from our sins, love not the world, separated from the world, and then consecrate and dedicate ourselves to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So we are to be filled with the Spirit. We are told by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Corinth that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we are not our own, that we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God. And we are told there by the Apostle Paul, he that defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. So we are to be a temple for the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. And we are to be witnesses in the home, on the job, wherever we go. We are to let our light shine and be a witness for the Lord. And then we drop down to verses 21 and 22, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Yes, Jesus Christ prayed for all of his followers to be one. And we see so much division in the religious world today. Divided, divided, divided. When Jesus prayed that we all be one. And why? Well, one of the reasons why Jesus prayed that we all be one was so that the world may believe that God had sent him into this world. Mahatma Gandhi was approached by a certain bishop of a Protestant church, and the man was talking to Mahatma Gandhi about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said to this preacher, "I would like to have your Christ, but I do not want your Christianity or your religion." What was he talking about? What he heard about Christ was very attractive and desirable, but when he looked on the divided world of the religious world, all divided and separated and scattered, he did not want that. And Jesus said here in this prayer that we would all be one so that the world would believe that God had sent him. Satan's dividing the world, the religious world, has hindered the testimony of the Christ and his gospel greatly. Therefore, he wants us all to be one. And the children of God should be one because we are one family. We have one Father and one Savior. We are told by the Apostle Paul, there is one body and there is one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Now he said, I pray for them that they all may be one. And we should take this part of the prayer, along with all the rest of it, we should take it very seriously. And then we look in verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I heard just recently that one preacher preached that we were not going to heaven. He said if we go to heaven, he would stop preaching. Well, I gather from this 24th verse of this John 17, the Lord's Prayer, I gather that Jesus was praying that we would be with him in heaven. Father, I will that they also whom thou givest me be with me where I am. Well, where is Jesus? We read in the scriptures where Stephen, when he was being stoned to death, looked into heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And so Jesus prayed that we would be in heaven with him. And that's what eternal life is all about. Living in such a way that we will be able to hear the Master say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Now we read in verse 26, the last verse of this chapter, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Just think of that. Jesus prayed that the love of God would be in us, even as God loved him. And the Holy Spirit does shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. And we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And here in this prayer, Jesus prayed that we could have the love of God in us. What a wonderful blessing that is, the love of God. Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthian church in 13 that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. And love is the greatest of all. Faith, hope, and charity are love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I thank God for the love of God, for that's why I have the privilege of being a child of God, and so you have the opportunity as well, if you will but partake of the gospel, allow Christ to be your Savior if it's not, and let the love of God be shed abroad in your heart, and you will love not only God the Father and God the Son, but you'll love everybody. Christians love everybody, even their very enemies. What a wonderful thing the love of God is. Our Father, we thank you for our precious Savior. We thank you for this prayer that he prayed, and he included us in his prayer, and we are truly thankful for that. So bless our precious congregation today as we have endeavored to share with them the Lord's Prayer. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share with you the gospel today, and we trust it has been a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. And our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage. And we have a number of years of our magazine there. Also, we have a number of our broadcasts there, if you'd like to hear one over or missed one. And we invite you to be with us in our services as they are broadcast live over the Internet, www.wayoftruth.org. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our Sunday evening service at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. So we invite you to be with us in our services, www.wayoftruth.org. And now we invite you to tune in to the station next week for another Way of Truth broadcast.
Often I'm hindered on my way, burdened so heavy I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. Many the trials, toils, and tears, many a heartache may hear appall. True.